Wow, truly, truly an amazing service today. I don't know about you, but this is beautiful. Every time we come here, there's always something that God brings to us, right? I'm not afraid about time because, you know, it's always there. You can't stop it. There's no way that, you know, that we can stop time, but there's always a way that we can manage time. So I have looked into a worship situation. I was like, wow, it's amazing. You know, everybody wants to share their story, which is really beautiful. And I think being part of God's family, we have to tell our stories. We have come to a point in our lives, especially now in these modern times, that we depend on Google to tell us stories. But we have stories to tell. And what is amazing about the stories that we have is because it is God's story portrayed in your life. If we are only sensitive enough to see where and how and what God is doing, we see Him actively in our lives. So I testify to that today. So thank you for sharing your stories and in our prayer time, the blessings that you have shared. Sometimes it takes a little longer. But yes, there's prayer meeting. You'd like to share that stories too. We have prayer meetings every Wednesday. I encourage you to be part of it. But yes, how's your walk with Jesus this week? Been quite challenging for me because I was in school this week. And sometimes, you know, a semester's worth of work is only like a week. How do you do that? You get to have all this information. You have to read beforehand, and then we have the next step after those classes. You got to write and synthesize and do whatever. But God is good. I can testify. He was there in the process of my schooling this week, and I felt even more closer to Jesus. There's so much richness when we come to God's Word and let it speak the way it is. And so I can testify to that also. Because this week, we started the book of Revelation. And it was one of the most beautiful classes I have. I love every class, but this one really made something in me, but challenged me as well to continue. So how much of what you have accomplished this week has brought you closer in your walk with God, or maybe even somebody closer to Jesus? Because this is what really is important. And I think this is how life makes sense for us as believers in God. Or maybe the other question would be, how's your smell? How is your smell this week? And for some of you who were not here last Sabbath, you might probably be, what is he talking about? But Sophie read something about the aroma and the fragrance of Jesus, which we are going to continue on. But that's what we're trying to talk about. How's your smell? How did you smell this week? Was it a beautiful smell of fragrance about Jesus in your life, or was it stinky and people don't want to get close to you? You know, that's the worst thing that happens when you travel. So I have traveled so many times in long flights, and there was a couple of times that I could not take it because the person sitting beside me was not smelling right. And you have to have this 16-hour flight. And you have to bear that smell. What are you going to do? Well, we're not talking about that here. I believe all of us are smelling well today, but we're talking about the smell of our testimony. How did you smell this week? Were you a sweet-smelling aroma and fragrance of God that somebody is like, oh, I want to follow that? You know, I was walking in this Chesterfield mall, and I was going through some things, you know. Yeah, I always tell myself I don't buy clothes that will go over $20. So I'm a cheap guy. So I said, I'm not going to buy. So you have to go through this sale thing, right? And then while I was going through these clothes, there was somebody that just followed me. And I was like, who's following me? And this lady was like, oh, what kind of perfume do you have? Man, that was the most embarrassing moment in my life. I was like red embarrassed. But it was good. I smelled good, you know. And she was asking what was my perfume. Should I tell you? No. No, that's a secret. But that's just one of the things and times that, you know, you are caught unaware because somebody's smelling you. What if God's people are like that? What is it? What is it in your life? So this is beautiful because we're in the series of being contagious. Obviously, it's not being contagious like coronavirus. But it has been contagious because of the smell of Jesus. So how is your, you know, remember, we promised that we're going to finish reading the Bible this year on December 31, okay? So how's your encounter with Jesus in the books that you're reading? Well, let me tell you this. If you miss a day or two or maybe even a week, please don't pound yourself. Please, no. This is not about who is going to be first to finish. This is about understanding God's story in your life. So please, don't feel bad that, oh, you missed a day and you were not able to read. Because there are times that happens. And our enemy would like to really hurt us that way. Ah, you're not too good anymore. You didn't read. You didn't pray. And he attacks you in that level where now you are discouraged because you have not done enough. A misrepresentation of God's character. You know the difference with God and Satan? God engages us to follow him, engages in a positive way. Know how Satan does it? Satan forces people to follow him. That's the difference. Big difference. God helps us to reflect on things so that we can make right choices. He doesn't force us. Satan forces us. Remember, when you read Revelation, you will find those two different things. Satan puts a mark on the people and enforces that those who don't have that mark cannot buy or sell, okay? Look, this book is prophetic, so there's some symbols that we understand, but that's just the character of Satan. But God is not that way. He allows us to respond. He's not arbitrary. He allows us to respond. So here's the verse that we read, or Sophia read. Oh, Well, I did it bad, but don't worry. Therefore, be imitators of God. See? We need, Paul is saying, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. How did Jesus love us? He gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Nothing can beat that when you smell good and there's the fragrance that fills the room. Nothing can beat that in terms of how we represent God. So this year, we have one word I just want you to remember: deeper, to have a deeper encounter with God through the study of his word, through relationships, a deeper connection with each other. I will remind you again, all the time, you will not grow in your spiritual life if you are by yourself. Growth happens in the context of relationship. A life touching another life. You know, engage in that relationship. That is where growth happens. That's the design of God for us. Why is this important that we go deeper? Because we know that we're living in borrowed time. I just want you to... I was shocked in my class on Tuesday about the news that happened in Tennessee. I don't know, maybe you didn't know, but yeah, there's more than 20 people died on that tornado. The devastation was just so terrible. It was like a war zone. And then to add to that, we have this. I'm glad here in Virginia, we're pretty good shape. There's about 31 cases not necessarily cases of coronavirus, but they did check it out. And it's negative. So, Seattle, we have New York, some in Texas, California. I think we just need to be more careful, but not necessarily be using fear and misinformation. Please don't do that. I mean, I always carry sanitizer. It's just a simple way to be, you know, to be. And please don't be offended when people would do that after they shake hands with you. That's just sanitizing. It's not that, am I carrying a germ? And the most worst scenario is when somebody coughs. And somebody look, and then we try to be scared about it. Look, if you know you're sick, don't go out. Just stay home, quarantine for a while, or go see the doctor. But don't also make, you know, any cough or any sneeze connected to coronavirus. Please, let's not do that. At the same time, let's be cautious too. Cautious about the way we do things and stuff like that. It's real. It's happening. It is around, but to be prepared is good. You know, to have the habits of preparation is also good. But this is, like I said, basic kindergarten healthy skills. I was taught this way. You know, wash your hands all the time. Don't put your hands in your mouth if you haven't. So these are very basic. So at the same time, let us remember that God cares for his people. And he protects us. So So please, let's not get this hype of this thing. At the same time, let's be cautious. Will there be a time that we cannot gather anymore? Oh yeah, if the government tells us we got to shut down church because there's a threat, of course we are going to do that. Does that really happen in Virginia? Will this threat be happening in Virginia? I don't know. There are other churches that they have already said no. Italy has shut down churches and schools. Korea has shut down their churches as well. But let's pray that this will not be pandemic, or that this will not be, you know, this will be contained. But as our governments are doing their best to do it, let's also cooperate. So it just reminds us that time is running out. And if we are not thinking that there is a direction that God is moving towards an end point in the history of the world, because he wants to take his people home and recreate this world to be a new place where there will be no more diseases, no more death, then it's a failure for us to come to church. Why come? So we are seeing these things because something is happening. And as Jesus said, before I come, there will be signs. How do you know that there are signs, that you are in the right track? Because there are signs. How do you know that you are not lost in the highway? Because it's Interstate 95. So the signs tell us that we are in the right road and highway and interstate. So when Jesus talks about this, he's saying, look, you're in the right track. We're heading home. That's what actually Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 24. So time is running out. That's the reason why we need to be in the direction where God is helping us understand. And life is so precious that he does not want anybody to be lost. He wants everyone to be saved. That's the point why we're having this series of Contagious. So, just a quick definition. What is contagious? Oh, it's transmitted by contact with an infected person. It's exciting similar emotions or conduct in others. There's another word for the carrier, or the one who transmits that. And it's the same, coming from the same root word, contagious. And that's the contagion. The transmission of influence on the mind of the emotion. So if you are the contagion, you are transmitting something to the person. But in this case, it also gives us an idea that it's not just about disease. When you transmit an influence in the mind or in the emotion of others, you're a contagion. You are contagious. So God wants us to be contagious. And we studied this last Sabbath because we need to be infected by Jesus. And every believer is a contagious believer infected by Jesus. And then we learned last Sabbath that contagious believers are infectious for Jesus. And then the third that we learned last Sabbath is, before that, we read this text, that our lives are like Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are saved and by those who are perishing. Because why? You know, people don't really want to hear the story of the gospel. It's like, what? That's the God you're serving? So he wants to destroy people? So it's going to be a different message. But to those who are saved, you know, it's a fresh aroma. Those are opening their minds as well. So number three, contagious believers are incurably devoted to Jesus. Now, There is something very important about this, being contagious. We are contagious because God has a big story, and He has told that story. And the Word of God, which is the Bible, has helped us understand the story of God. So this is where we find God's story. That's the reason why it is so important for us to understand the Bible. But I hope you'll not be disappointed if I tell you that the Bible was originally not written for you. You're looking strange now. Well, this was not originally written for us. There were people in the time and place that the message of this book was addressed to. But here's the good news. The Bible is timely during their time that was addressed to them, but is also timeless. Because the principles that we find here affects us. And if we believe that God's word is a big story, it is the story of God and the story of God trying to rescue the human race, then you and I are part of that story. And so that's the most beautiful thing about the Bible. Well, so it has changed me. As the more I studied Scripture, the more I begin to realize, wow, these people are just like me. Although the Bible story was their story in their particular culture and time, they have the same hatred that I harbor when I don't like people. They have the same love when they sacrifice for other people. They have all this emotion that still is relevant to me because they're human like me. And then I begin to see that in the process, and it's, wow. So now this makes sense to me now. How many times did Abraham lie? Because he was afraid that God would not deliver. How many times did I lie myself too? Because I am afraid whether God will show up or not. You see, these are real things and real experiences that happens. And when we begin to see this, then we see God's story trying to be the God who says, I am faithful to fulfill what I promised to you. And even if you are not faithful, I will be faithful. That's the story of the Bible. That's your story that you see in your life as well. And so, God has a mission. We think that the Bible has a mission for us. What is actually happening is the mission has the Bible. Because even before this was written, God has already a mission. Even before this was formed into scrolls and texts and all of that, the mission was already existing. So the Bible does not have the mission. The mission has the Bible because the mission is coming from God. That's the same reason that the church does not have the mission. The mission has the church. Who delivers the mission is the church. And that's why you and me are called by God, because the church is not a building. It is a people. People called by God to bring the gospel story to all the world. So we don't have the mission. God has the mission for us. And He tells us, share my story. Be contagious. So what if we can learn simple and practical ways of converting routine everyday experiences into spiritual conversations that will attract others in winsome, friendly ways and create in them a desire to learn more about what the Bible teaches about Jesus. What if we do that? You know, I've changed my prayer, really. If God has that mission, then God is ahead. What if God has already these people that he wants you to meet? Sometimes we think, oh, wait, I'm going to create the situation. No, the original of the mission is God. He is the one who will create those situations for you. That's the point where we need to pray, Lord, who is the next person you want me to meet today? Whether that be for blessing, whether that be for a testimony, whether that be for an engagement in a beautiful story of God. So as we look into this, in our series, we're going to see that this is going to affirm our Adventist message and mission, and that it will create an awareness of missional opportunities in our everyday experiences. Is the scene clear? Okay. So I need to make it more clear. But look, here's the challenge. Oh, I don't know. You know what? I don't have a lot of knowledge of the Bible. And I don't really know how to share my faith. I love what is shared here in the book Desire of Ages. He who is a child of God should henceforth look upon himself as a link in a chain let down to save the world. Where is this chain coming from? So it's kind of like a phrase that reflects something. He who is a child of God should henceforth look upon himself as a link in a chain let down to save the world, one with Christ in his plan of mercy. So it's just, you're not going to be alone. There are going to be people with you that they will also share. You will not have every answer to every question, but God is going to use you as a link. One with Christ in his plan of mercy, going forth with him to seek and to save the lost. So, this being said, it is so important for us to understand something very, very basic. When we share to others our experience with God, God calls us to expose people to what we believe, not impose it on them. Does that make sense? Because Satan imposes. God exposes. And he just wants us to engage. And what happens is the way we live our lives will tell the story. Okay? That's the reason why it's not good to make assumptions of anyone. Race, gender, culture, whatever background. No. Every single person in this world is a child of God. It's just that some don't know that they are. And if we miss that, then that's why we have race issues. Oh, I cannot go to that because that's not my culture, or that's not how. No. Every single person in this world. Because when Jesus said, for God so loved the Adventist, for God so loved the Christians. No. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You see, if God is more specific on a particular culture, then he would say that there. But no. He said, I love the world. That's the mission that we see. That's the reason why God calls us to expose people to what we believe. So what do you believe? How do you share the God who loves you? Because the biggest problem we have is this. How can we share something we don't have? How can we give away something we have never experienced? All right. Why should we be contagious? Oh, man, time's running out fast. Why be contagious? Okay, number one, because we are obeying God's commands. And I'm not going to go through all of this text. But the first text tells us that there is a command to say, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe everything that I have told you. So we are called to go to teach, to make disciples. And then it says in the later part, baptize. Actually, it's make disciples, baptize, and then teach them. We do it different way. We teach them before we baptize them. And then we think of discipling them. No, Jesus is saying, make disciples first. Then baptize them, and then teach them. Why is it that way? Because when we are engaged in a process of discipling, you know, discipleship is somebody is the leader, the master, and then I'm a learner following the person who is the master. And so that way I emulate, you see how many of the disciples in ancient cultures would have. I love to see all of this, you know, cultural discipleship thing in the monks, among the monks, you know, among the philosophers, among students. Oh, I love this teacher. I want to learn from him. And then they're following that person. So that's the idea. Because it becomes organic to follow, to learn, to mentor from the person. So then, we need to be contagious because we need to obey God's commands. We need to be contagious because we are honoring God's passion. What is God's passion? Revelation chapter 14 is the final message and talks about the three angels that represents a people who are bringing this message. They're not like angel from heaven, but it represents messengers. So these are a people who are bringing messages to the world. And we believe that is very important part of our movement. Then, the reason why God calls us to be part of this movement, because there are three different things that God is talking about in Revelation chapter 14. Number one, there is a call. The angel is saying to fear God, not to be afraid of God, but to honor God who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all. So there is a message of bringing back to God, because a lot of people have missed now. Have you seen it? Have you heard it? Have you noticed it? And more people are giving up on God. And if they are not, it's just that they cannot make sense of God's character. And so they would say, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. And that the fastest growing church, well, it's not considered a church, but the fastest growing religion in the U.S. and could be around the world is actually the nones, which is N-O-N-E-S. So when they go to the surveys or they go to Social Security and they fill up their application forms, or when they're in the hospital and they are logged in as a patient, what they're writing there is religious affiliation, non. That's larger than any Christian. It's growing. So, God's character has been misrepresented. And so that's the reason why God is bringing people back. And then the next chapter 14, verse 8, is actually there's also a warning message, because God has an enemy and he doesn't want us to know his message. And then the other message is telling us, don't be part of the enemy's team. So there is God saying, and then there's God saying, I warn you, there's an enemy. And then there's the other one saying, don't be part of that. So these are the messages. And I just make it more, you know, I just summarize it. But we can go deeper as we go along with our series. Now, the other thing that we need to know about why we need to be contagious is that we need to defend God's character. Oh, are you going to be God's lawyer? Does God really need a lawyer to defend him? I don't think so. But what this means is the way we live our lives speaks about the God we honor and worship. What if somebody says that, you know what, Sarita is this kind of person, and you know what, she's a, you know, if Sarita is your best friend, you're going to say, no, you're misunderstanding Sarita. I know Sarita. That's not Sarita. In this way, I can say on a personal testimony level, no, this is not the God you're saying. Isaiah chapter 26, 8 says, your name and renown or fame are the desire of our hearts. Do we desire God's fame, his character? Then, I love this because this really brings that whole point in. Because in the end, this is our message. The last rays of merciful light, the last message of mercy to be given to the world is a revelation of his, that is God, God's character of love. Is it about 666? Mm-mm, no. Is it about the beast? No. It's never about that. It's about God's character. We will talk about this because in the series we will have the great controversy in the series, the story of the great controversy. Then number four is that it warns us against deception. Matthew 24:44 is a warning text that says that even God's very elect will be deceived. If we are not aware of that. And so, Paul has that experience. And he said, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert. I should have put this white. Just bear with me. Remembering that the night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. Even Paul himself was pleading and crying. And I can pray. I can see how many times he was on his knees to pray. Because there are people that were attacking God's movement. So it will warn us against deception. And then finally, shares the promise of a hope-filled life now. John 10:10, I want you to have an abundant life. So how do we become contagious? Just a few minutes, and I'll be quick. Becoming contagious, here's one huge thing that I found in Revelation 12, which are, those of you who were in the contagious seminar, it was, I think, mentioned there. And here's one that I found there. Now the salvation and power of the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser, which is Satan, of our brethren has been thrown down, and he who accuses them before our God day and night. This is what Satan's job is. He accuses you. Oh, he doesn't make it. He will not. And he discourages you to find the meaning of your life in God. That is what he is doing all the time. When you have depression, when you are frightened, he will enhance everything for you to lose your trust in God. That's what he is doing. That's why he's called the accuser. And this is the amazing thing. They overcame him. Who did they overcome? Satan, the enemy, because of their prayers. Because they were faithfully studying scriptures. Because they didn't have any absent in church. Because they give tithe and offerings and didn't never missed it. They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, Jesus. Not because of what they have done or will do, but because of what Jesus did. That is clear. Now, why are we coming to church? I'm not saying, no, don't go to church because Jesus overcame already. I'm not saying, no, don't study your Bible or don't pray because Jesus overcame already. We have overcome. And the result of overcoming through Jesus Christ is this relationship that is now getting more beautiful, more richer because of what he has done. What do you do to something that really did something huge for you? They overcame him, Satan, because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life, even faced with death. That's the impact. So, what does this mean? This means two things of how we have overcome Satan. The blood of the Lamb is actually sharing the story of Jesus. And the word of their testimony is actually your story. That's your story. So, we call this the objective truth of the gospel, the story of Jesus, a story that stands as truth whether or not we accept it in our lives or whether we are affected by it. And then, the word of their testimony is the subjective story of the gospel, and it is your story. We are going to continue this next Sabbath. So how do I share my story? But before we end, I'd like to invite a priest team to come now here. Let me tell this story. While they're coming up here. So this gentleman was sent as a missionary to India. And he was very excited about his life to be a missionary there. But what happened was, and this happened in the Philippines as well as any place around the Asian country before, in the early years around the 70s, 80s, we had a problem with tuberculosis, TB. Now we are protected, so we don't have that issue now, just like coronavirus. So he caught TB as a missionary, helping the poor. He was able to get infected by the contagious TB. So he ended up in the local hospital. While he was there at the local hospital, what happened was, well, he was so excited. He said, I'm going to give this literature to the nurses and to the other patients. So he was in the ward. But while he was there in the ward, everybody was looking at him. How is this white guy here with us in this, you know, poor hospital? So he kind of gave them all this literature, and they respectfully refused. They hand him back. Thank you. They respectfully refused. Now, one evening, as they were about to sleep, he heard this man beside him coughing and had a terrible cough. That was early at 2 a.m., and he was struggling to get out of bed, and he was coughing and coughing and coughing. And then what happened next was even terrible. The day nurses... Oh, no, the night nurses didn't want that, because what happened next was he actually wanted to, that early morning he wanted to go to the bathroom, but he couldn't. He was just so frail and weak, and his bed was a mess. Stinky, terrible, and the nurse... This came in the morning. It's like, oh, they were cussing. They were so mad about this old man and wipe him and clean up. And he felt so bad. He felt so bad. He said, I should do something. So that night again came, and this guy, early in the morning, was coughing and terrible and wanting to get out of bed. And he said, I had to do something. So he went out of his bed, went to the guy that was very frail and thin and weak, and put his arms around the armpit. He said, just hold on. Even if they don't know how to, he doesn't know how to speak the language, the old man understood that he was going to be carried to the bathroom. And then he was carried to the bathroom, and the bathroom was something different from bathrooms now. It's just a hole. Held him there until it was done, and then he cleaned up and brought him back to the bed. He was very tired, of course, because he was also sick. And he woke up very late that day. But when he woke up, the nurses brought him some tea. There was some bread. There was something special that happened. He didn't realize that was all. There was already this commotion. And everybody was asking for the literature. It was not about how good what was in that literature. It was about an act of kindness that touched every single person in the hospital, because the story continued all over. And he got healed. He went home. And he said, wow, now I learn what it is to tell my story. God has your story. You have a story to tell. This week, your assignment is find that story. List five people that you have been connected with in your work, at home, and pray about these people and start to see the story of God that will be in your life.